Well, we're going to read God's Word today from the first book in the Bible, from Genesis chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4, as we begin this new year, going to begin reading with verse 1 from Genesis chapter 4. Let us give our attention to God's holy Word. And Adam knew Eve his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock, and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, and unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance failed. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, Where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. And now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee your strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth. And Cain said unto the Lord, My punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be hid. And I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth, and it shall come to pass that every one that findeth me shall slay me. And the Lord said unto him, Therefore whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him. Amen. We end our reading there at verse 15. And we trust that the Lord will bless His Word to all our hearts today. I want to say just a moment, I had forgotten to say about our work in Alabama. We have been there in the same area for, this is beginning our 22nd year. That's right. 22nd year. We started with a prayer meeting on the first Wednesday of 1988. And we are very thankful that now we have our own building. It's not complete just yet, but we trust that in the year 2010 it'll be complete. And we thank God for beginning to build His spiritual house there. We trust that God will do a great work in bringing many more stones into the building, even from there in Trinity and Decatur. Well, let us pray and ask God's blessing on His Word. O God, our Father in heaven, what a joy it is to turn to Thee in our Savior's name. We are glad for the acceptance that we have only in and through the name and the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray that Thou will help us today. We pray that Thou will give help and power to the preacher and the preaching of Thy Word. Lord, I pray that Thou wilt give a holy anointing to the hearing of Thy Word, We pray that Thou wilt cause Thy people to rejoice and to be glad at Thy Word. We pray that Thou wilt build us up on our most holy faith. Lord, we pray that Thou wilt work in the hearts of those who are strangers to Thee, yet among the people of God today. We pray that Thou wilt open the eyes and open the hearts of those who go on in such danger. We pray that Thou wilt bring precious souls to Jesus today. We pray, O God, blessed Holy Spirit, that Thou wilt come and let us know Thy power. We pray in the all-prevailing name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, here we are on the first Sabbath day of 2010. The Lord has promised to be with His people, with His church, even to the end of the age. And I trust that He is here with us today to bless us, to bless His Word to our hearts. 6,000 years have passed since the earth drank in the blood of the first martyr. Abel's grave was the first human grave on the earth. But the faith of Abel is not dead. The faith of Abel and his blood still has a living voice. As Hebrews 11 says, he, being dead, yet speaketh. His brother Cain proved to be of the seed of the serpent, whose poison has so thoroughly corrupted Cain, Eve's first son, that it caused the slaying of her second son, these two sons of Adam. And isn't there even in this a picture of the first and the second Adam? Adam's first son demonstrated his horrible depravity by bringing about the death of the innocent second son of Adam. And clearly the first Adam was responsible for the death of the innocent second Adam. Well, why did this happen? With God's help today, we're going to look at Cain's fatal mistake, Cain's false motivation, and Cain's fraternal murder. So first of all, Cain's fatal mistake in verses 3 and 4. And in process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. This is Cain's fatal mistake. What is a mistake? A mistake is an error. A mistake is a blunder. And so I call this Cain's fatal mistake because he selected not only the wrong offering to bring, but I dare to say that he brought the offering that he brought with the wrong spirit. Because if he had brought even that offering with the right spirit, then he would have been willing to have humbled himself before God when the Lord rebuked him. He would have repented, but he did not. So he not only brought the wrong offering, he brought it with the wrong spirit. Adam and Eve had no doubt shown both their sons by their own word and by their own example. They had instructed them regarding the proper sacrifice to bring in which and by which they would approach Almighty God. It's obvious from verse 3 that regarding the worship of God, there is a proper time to worship God. If you notice there in verse 3, and in process of time. There is a proper time for worship. The literal Hebrew here says at the end of days it came to pass. Now there are many of the old commentators, including A.W. Pink, that see in these words at the end of days that it is referring to the seventh day of the week, the end of days, the end of the week. God was formally to be worshipped. There was a time for worship. In process of time, at the end of days, there was not only a proper time, there was a proper place for the worship. Because you read here that they brought their offering. So they were bringing their offering to a certain locale, to a certain place. They were bringing the offering. And that offering, obviously, was brought to a very special place. And what could that place have been? Well, I believe in the third chapter, in the last verse, we have the key to the very place where they brought their offerings. Verse 24 of chapter 3, "So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life." You notice there are these angelic creatures, the cherubims, and a flaming sword. There was that burning manifestation, that shining, that burning of the flaming sword there. And I believe that it was probably there at the east gate of Eden where the fiery glory of God was shining at the outstretched wings of the cherubim. For it is there that the unchanging and the unchangeable God promised to meet with His people. If you read in Exodus chapter 25 and verse 22, there beneath those outstretched wings of the cherubim, the Lord promised to meet there with His people. So there was the proper time for worship, the proper place. There was also the proper means for approaching the Holy God. Cain and Abel had been definitely instructed about the appointed sacrifice. They had seen their parents approaching God. Hebrews chapter 11 tells us that Abel, by faith, offered his sacrifice. Well, how did he get that faith? Faith is that which comes by hearing. It comes by instruction. It comes based upon truth. Romans 10:17. "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." They had no doubt been taught by their parents who had been taught by the Lord themselves. We know that Abel had faith because he complied with God's revealed will. We see in Abel the very obedience of faith that's spoken of in Romans chapter 16. Abel's faith was rewarded, for God accepted his sacrifice. In verse 4, "The Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering." Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4 says that God testified. God gave an open acknowledgement of his acceptance of Abel's offering. Well, I ask, how? How did God show that He accepted? How did God give that open acknowledgement of respect to Abel's offering? Well, it was normally done in the Old Testament times by God sending down fire to consume the sacrifice. It was often done that way. It was done for Moses and Aaron in Leviticus chapter 9. It was done for Gideon in Judges chapter 6. It was done, you know well, on top of Mount Carmel. The fire came down for Elijah in 1 Kings chapter 18. In 1 Chronicles chapter 21, when David was making an offering to the Lord, the fire came down. And again, for Solomon, at the opening of the temple, in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, the fire of God came down and consumed the sacrifice. So I believe that God showed that respect, showed that acknowledgement by even sending down the fire, even at that place where there was that fiery manifestation of God's angelic beings. The cherubims were there. So Cain had that fatal error of bringing the wrong offering in bringing the offering with the wrong spirit. I want you to notice, secondly, Cain's false motivation. Verses 5 to 7. And unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. That which moved Cain to offer the first, or his fruits or his vegetables, was a wrong, untrue, dishonest spirit. I say it was a false motivation. He would not submit his will to God's revealed will. There had never been an offering like his offering. There was at the first those animals slain by the Lord Himself to make the coats for Adam and Eve. And they had clear instruction what they were to do. Well, he did not do as he had been taught. Verse 5 says his countenance fell. He was visibly crushed and he was angered. He was furious that all his labors would stand for nothing. And isn't that the exact condition of the natural man? Isn't that the exact manifestation of the wicked, depraved heart of man? I want some credit. I want some acknowledgement for what I have done. But Cain was brought to see that all that he had worked for, that all he had labored to produce, brought him nothing before God. He was angry because he could not approach God according to the dictates of his own mind. His works proved inadequate to get him into the approving presence of God. So Cain was burning with bitterness, with anger, because Abel was accepted and he was not accepted. And he was not about to humble himself and go to his little brother and barter for a lamb. No way. It was not fair, he thought, that God would accept Abel and not accept him. Why, his produce was as good as any old lamb. So he thought. It was the case of the proud older brother that occurs so many times in the Scripture. Over and over again you see it with Ishmael and Isaac, with Esau and Jacob, with Joseph and his older brothers, David and his older brothers as they made fun of him when he came to the place of battle. And even in the case of the older brother in the prodigal son, as Christ was teaching, it was that proud older brother. I'm not going to humble myself. I'm not going to have to be like him. Well, it's always so with a naturally darkened and depraved mind. The unrenewed human heart always rebels against having to approach God through a bloody sacrifice. The self-righteous person hates the truth of the substitutionary sacrifice more than that heart hates the devil. I tell you, the heart of a lost person does not love the truth of the gospel, despises the bloody way of approach to God more than they despise the very prince of darkness himself. Verses 6 and 7, God counsels Cain. He tells him that he was proud and he needed to humble himself to do right. If thou doest well, you'll be accepted, he says. Humble yourself and bring a lamb. But beware, if you go on in this bitter spirit, then you're going to be devoured by your sin. For your sin is lurking just like a wild beast outside your door. That beast is waiting to tear you. It's crouching at your door, ready to spring upon you. But how wonderful it is of God to speak to that man who was so stubborn and so willful, and yet the Lord, in His tender mercy, was dealing with him. You see how God was dealing with him? God was dealing with him even as he deals with us now. He was very pointedly speaking his word, giving him his truth, and he not only gave him the naked word, he gave him a sacrament right there before him, showing him what to do. There he was. He was giving him a visible sign of his grace. And he does so still in his church. We not only have God's word, but we have the sacraments of the Lord. Praise God. Signs, visible signs of his grace. Oh, praise God, he showed. He demonstrated his goodness to wicked Cain. But Cain in his evil and corrupt heart would have nothing of it. So we've seen Cain's fatal mistake and his false motivation. I want you to notice now Cain's fraternal murder. He killed his brother. And why did he kill his brother? I believe it was for two reasons. Because of jealousy and because of fear. He was afraid. Jealousy went with envy. Abel, his younger brother. Why should he, the firstborn son, not be accepted? And yet his younger brother, Abel, was accepted. It wasn't fair. And Cain refused to be humbled. He refused to humble himself also. So I tell you, it was jealousy, it was envy, but it was more. It was fear. He was afraid of what was going to happen with his brother. He was afraid of what was going to happen with him because of his brother. If Cain had only done right, he would rule over Abel, as verse 7 says. If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. Now notice the last words of verse 7. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. If you do the right thing, Cain, then you're going to rule over your brother. It's what God is saying to him. He would rule over Abel. He would retain all the place and the privileges of the firstborn son. And what was the place? What was the privileges of the firstborn son? He would have that position, that place of being the head of the family, the chief, the ruler, the man who led the whole family with the siblings and with all their children. He would be the leader. Secondly, the second privilege, he would be the family priest, the spiritual leader for the extended family, the priest who interceded and sacrificed for them. Thirdly, he would be in the place of privilege, being the very link in the line of the promised seed, an ancestor of Messiah, prophetically pointing forward and looking forward to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then, in the last place, if he had only done right, he would have had the privilege of the double portion. He would have received twice as much of the inheritance as each of the other sons. Well, Cain was afraid. Cain was afraid that Abel was going to have all that, since God had recognized Abel's spiritual superiority already. Would not Cain soon lose everything to his younger brother? Well, Abel was a prophet. Did you realize that? Abel was a prophet. Luke tells us in chapter 11, verses 50 and 51. So no doubt, Abel, as one speaking the word of God, counseled and warned his brother Cain to repent. But the whole situation had become intolerable to the wicked, arrogant Cain. He wouldn't listen to God, and he wouldn't listen to his brother. One day when they were talking together, Cain proposed that they go out into the field to continue their conversation. He wanted to be there where there were no witnesses, no one to prevent his evil design. As they talked, Cain, the natural man, accused God of favoritism. And he accused his brother of self-righteousness. The argument became so bitter on Cain's part that he rose up and he slew his brother Abel. There it was. The foul deed was done. James chapter 1 describes it. When lust or passion has conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Cain's passion, Cain's lust, Cain's anger brought forth sin that was lying at the door. And it brought forth death, the murder of his own dear brother. What an awful warning there is here to lost sinners. A selfish, self-willed, presumptuous sinner, Cain was. He was a firm believer in himself. He was a believer in self-reliance. He was a believer in the essential goodness of human nature. Because look what he had brought. He had brought what he had grown by his own care, by his own handiwork. He offered to God the fruit of his own labors, his own personal efforts. He insisted on salvation by human merit. But Abel was a man of a broken spirit, a man of repentance, who rested not on his own works, but on the blood of the substitute. And he was willing to be saved by the grace of God. Cain insisted on approaching God on the ground of personal worthiness. He was a believer in the dignity of man. Instead of accepting God's way of saving sinners, he selected an offering that suited his own taste. The fruit of the ground, but that ground God had already cursed. Abel represents all those who agree with God, who are even willing to take God's side against themselves. We agree with God that by nature we are lost. We are hopeless. We are undone. Our only hope is in another. Like Abel, we have our faith in the blood of the atoning sacrifice, the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ. We can say with the hymn writer, "My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness." The great danger that so many face is the same danger that the Jews faced. They were going about to establish their own righteousness, and they would not submit themselves to the righteousness of God. I tell you, there are many people who have not submitted themselves to God's way of saving sinners. God has one way of saving sinners. That is through faith in the blood of the Lamb. And without Him, there is no salvation. If you choose to walk in pride, as Cain did, you'll trample on that offering that teaches us how polluted we are by nature. Oh yes, we were created by the great and the infinite God. But what does creation leave us? Creation leaves us but dust. And the fall and sin leaves us as the vilest of dust. So wicked and depraved we are by nature. Yet we continue to strut about like so many proud little roosters before God, as though we were something, thinking that we're something, and yet we're nothing. Only sovereign grace can open our eyes. Only sovereign grace can cause us to see ourselves as we really are before the righteous and almighty God. Only sovereign grace can lay us low in real humility at the Savior's feet. Until that happens, natural man only goes on in that ugly, wicked pride which belongs to all of us by nature. Oh, my dear friend, if you do not have Christ today, your greatest need is Him. You need the Lord Jesus Christ. I plead with you, believe on Him today. Unbelief will close your eyes so that you'll not see Jesus. Unbelief will close your very ears so you cannot hear the Word. Unbelief will close your hands so you will not reach out by faith and take the Savior. Unbelief will trip your feet so that you'll not run to the Savior. Unbelief will close your mouth so you'll not cry out to Him. You'll not call upon Him. Unbelief will close your heart so that you will not receive Him. Cain refused the Lord. Cain would not believe. Cain would not receive the blood of the substitute, would not trust in the sacrifice of another. He did not love the Lord. Therefore, he did not love those who love the Lord. Don't make Cain's fatal mistake today. If you reject the Lord Jesus Christ, just understand it. He will reject you. But if you will confess Him before men, even this day, then one day He will confess your name before our Father which is in heaven. Oh, dear friend, for your own soul's sake, I urge you to come to Jesus even this very day. Let's bow together and pray. Oh God, our Father, we are thankful for Thy Word. And here at the opening of this new year, we thank Thee that the very blood of Jesus has lost none of its ancient cleansing power. Praise Thee that the gospel is still the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. And Lord, those of us who know Thee have come to see something of the power of the gospel. Lord, we pray for those today to whom the gospel seems to them to have no power, no reality. We pray that Thou would open their hearts even to see and to know the power of God. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.